Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask now that you would speak your word to us, that we would truly hear your word, and that it would bear fruit in our lives all to your honor and glory. And we pray this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Please be seated. In spite of present appearances, God is in control. In spite of present appearances, God is in control. That is actually the summary that one writer gives of the entire book of Daniel in the Bible, a portion of which was read this morning. In spite of present appearances, God is in control. So our reading today from Daniel chapter 7, if you read through the book of Daniel, the whole thing, you'll notice that chapter 7 sort of, there's a significant shift that takes place in the book. The first six chapters are relatively straightforward historical events. But then chapter 7 begins a, shall we say, more unusual portion of the book. And there are visions of things like heavenly visions and strange beasts and such things. And that kind of writing that we're going to look at today, that kind of writing, often called apocalyptic writing, can be tricky for us. It's very symbolic and it's not precise. It's often very political and especially emphasizes in symbol-laden ways what's really going on in the world. It's a kind of, if you will, glimpse behind the curtain of what's really happening in the midst of what we see going on in the world. So, in Daniel 7, just before our reading today, we don't start with verse 1 in chapter 7. The beginning of chapter 7, we see this vision that Daniel has of these very strange creatures symbolizing evil earthly kingdoms. And then, our reading from today, God enters the scene as the true king. That's why we use this reading for Christ the King Sunday. It culminates the whole year. Despite whatever is going on in the world, we get a glimpse behind the curtain that God is Lord and King and is seated on the throne. Jesus Christ, God the Son, is Lord and King. In spite of present appearances, God is in control and on the throne. So, in looking at our passage from Daniel 7 today, we're going to look at a few implications of what this then means for us that Christ is our king, that God is king of the whole world. What does that kingship mean for us as we live that out? So I'm going to invite you to turn in your bulletins, if you haven't already, to Daniel 7, and we're going to look at this passage together. So I'm going to offer a few things that God being our king means for us that come out of Daniel 7 today. So first, God being king means that he has final judgment on all things. Him being king means he and he alone has final judgment on all things. So if you look at verse 9, as I looked, thrones were placed, and the Ancient of Days, God, took his seat. And then down at the end of verse 10, the court sat in judgment and the books were opened. Now, as already mentioned, the first part of Daniel 7, the part we didn't actually read today, tells of a vision of personifications of evil human kingdoms. And they're described as these horrid hybrid creatures, sort of part human and part beast with terrible claws and eating human flesh and things like that. And then in the midst of that vision, of those troubling things, Daniel sees God enter the scene. And he sits on his throne. Remember, all the other things are on their sort of little thrones. And here comes God on his throne, putting all of that other stuff into perspective. And then it says, and the court sat in judgment. That's one of the things that kings in the ancient world would do, especially in the ancient world where they didn't have modern court systems. Kings judge. They decide on cases. Their decision is final. There is no appeal once the king has pronounced judgment. God is king and his judgment is final. Now, sort of a scary version of that comes from a movie. I actually didn't look up what year it came from, but the movie The Man in the Iron Mask. The French king, played by Leonardo DiCaprio, orders a member of his court to knowingly distribute rotten food to the people. The king knows it's rotten, the man knows it's rotten, he orders the man to distribute rotten food to the people. When the people then revolt about this rotten food, the king is then forced to deal with it, and so he walks over to the man that he ordered to distribute the rotten food, he pulls the royal medal off of him, hands it to the man next to him, and says, "There, now you're in charge, execute him for distributing rotten food." And the look on their faces tells the whole story. The king is in charge, and he has issued his judgment, and there is no way out of it. Now, of course, that is completely unjust and capricious on the king's part, but the king has spoken as judge, and that's that. But unlike the French monarch, throughout the Bible, God being judge is viewed as an immensely good thing. The fact that God will judge the world is a comfort to his people because it means that evil won't win. It means that unjust rulers don't have the last word. It means that as king and judge, God will bring about true justice because that's who God is, and evil will be dealt with. That's the scene here in Daniel 7. Evil is piling up and getting worse, and then here comes God sitting on the throne, sitting in judgment. In spite of present appearances, God is in control. Evil does not go unnoticed or unaddressed because God is king. So when you read the news, or when you watch TV, or when you hear about what's going on in the world, trust that God is judge and that evil does not go unnoticed. Trust that our heavenly king is judge of the world and he will bring true justice to the world. And that also means, for you and me, in our small part of the world, that we can let God be our vindicator. When misrepresented or when someone speaks something false about us, let God be our vindicator. He knows, he sees, our Lord and Judge sees. So God being king, part of what that communicates is that he has final judgment on all things. A second thing that we see in Daniel 7, God being king means that he has dominion over the whole world. God has dominion and reign over the whole world. So verse 13, "Behold, with the clouds of heaven there came one like a son of man, and he came to the Ancient of Days," came to God the Father, "and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion and a glory and a kingdom, and all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed." So in this vision, Jesus, the Son of Man, God incarnate, comes before God the Father and is given the kingdom. And it says that all peoples, all nations, all languages should serve him. The whole world is his. The king and his kingdom will last forever. And this is an important concept in the Bible, and this is something especially that this kind of writing, use that phrase again, apocalyptic literature, does a lot. This is pointing to something that is both true now and will be in its fullness later. This is both that he is king now and that he will return in the future and his kingdom will be established in a new way. Both now and in a new way in the future. We sometimes refer to this as the already but not yet of the Bible. He is already king through the cross and resurrection. Jesus has been enthroned on high, and yet it has not yet fully been established in the way that his reign one day will be. Already but not yet. And so as one writer put it, although it may look as if the world is under the power of human evil running rampant and not under God's control, in this case, looks are deceiving. God is in control, and there is no question concerning who is going to win this struggle. Jesus is Lord and King of the world. Even if we don't see it fully now, and even though there are still those who fight against his rule in the world. Reminds me of something I've heard under at least the last three presidential administrations. But people who don't particularly like the president, whoever that happens to be, have said things like, well, he's not my president. But of course, the answer is yes, yes, he is. Whether you like him or not, yes, he is your president. And we see this with the rule of Jesus as our Lord and King as well. Yes, he is ruler here and now, and yet there are still people who do not accept his reign. But a day will come, and that's what we celebrate today on Christ the King Sunday, when Jesus will return and all doubt about his kingship, about his lordship will be wiped away, and he will establish his perfect justice in his new and everlasting kingdom, and his dominion over the whole world will never end. So knowing that God holds dominion over the whole world, already and not yet, we're then called to live by his standards. In our fallen worldly kingdoms, who don't uphold God's standards, in our fallen worldly kingdoms, gossip and slander are acceptable ways to get what you want, but not in God's kingdom. In our fallen worldly kingdoms, whatever feels good to you is considered good and right. But in God's kingdom, loving one another with God's love is more important than our own desires. Jesus being king means that he holds dominion over the whole world. And so you and I are called to live in that kingdom here and now, knowing that we will see our Lord face to face in his reign one day. As king, Jesus has dominion over the whole world. And the third thing that we see here in Daniel 7 is that God being king means that even death will not be the end. Even death is not the end. So verse 14 says this. His dominion, Jesus' dominion, will have what is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom, one that shall not be destroyed. His dominion is everlasting. It shall not pass away. It shall never end. And because his kingdom never ends, it cannot end in death. Which means that how we respond to Christ the King has eternal consequences. How we respond to earthly kings may have earthly temporal consequences, but how we respond to our eternal Lord and King has eternal consequences. Are you ready to die today? Not do you want to, but are you ready? See, one thing that's happened during this pandemic is that more people are coming to grips with the fact that they might die sooner than expected. People are thinking about death more than they used to, at least in our culture. And that's a good thing in one way, because, of course, it and taxes are certain for us all. But a seminary professor of mine once told me about going into a dying man's hospital room. Now, the man was not a Christian, but he was invited by, the priest was invited by some family members that were and were part of his church. This man, So the priest, the professor of mine, walked into the hospital room of this man, this dying man. And he walked in and he looked him in the eye and just said, very bluntly, "You're going to die. I'm here to talk with you to help get you ready to die." Now, the family member who invited him was mortified by his abruptness, but that was exactly the sort of bluntness that that man needed. And that man actually, over the next couple days before he died, actually came to faith in Jesus. The fact is that Jesus is Christ our King, and his kingdom is eternal, and that means that each one of us needs to be ready to see him face to face, because death is not the end. The things that you're doing now don't end in death. The things in our life right now that are wrong, the consequences for them don't end in the grave. So, if you're using pornography or hurting someone or gossiping about people or manipulating someone for your gain, death doesn't end all that, because Jesus' kingdom is eternal and those deeds come to light in his justice. And frankly, that should terrify us. And yet in Jesus, for those who turn to him in faith, there is eternal forgiveness. There is true justice for our sins. Not that God ignores them, but that Jesus, in his great love for us, comes down from his throne in heaven to become one of us, to die for us, and to rise victorious over sin and death for us. And in him, and him alone, is true forgiveness of our sins. And in him, we are given the power to live new lives of wholeness and purity, able to be free from the sin that once trapped us. So let this reality that the pandemic has helped in this way, helped put before us, let this reality sink in, that death really can come more suddenly than we expect. Are you ready to die? Amen. Are you ready to come face to face with Christ the King, the one who holds final judgment on all things, the one who rules over the world, including over you? And the one whose kingdom does not end in death. Are you ready to see him face to face? So today I invite you to take a step forward in getting ready. I'm going to give you a few ways you can do that. Honestly confess your sins to God. We'll do that in just a moment together. But what in your life needs to change in order to more fully reflect Jesus' reign? What amendment of life do you need to make in order to live more fully as a member of Christ's kingdom? Honestly see if you are, as an older version of the prayer book would say, honestly see if you are in love and charity with your neighbor before coming to communion. If you're not, skip communion this week, deal with the issue this week, and then come back to the table next week for communion having been reconciled. If you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus, let today be the day. Come talk to me after the service. We'll have prayer teams in that small room back there called the Gethsemane Chapel that would be happy to pray with you. But you and I need to get ready because Jesus is King. So today, on the culmination of our church year, we celebrate that Jesus is our already and still coming King. He is judge of the world. He rules over the whole world. And his kingdom does not end in death, but lasts forever. Are you ready? And remember that in spite of present appearances, God is in control. Let's pray. Almighty and everlasting God, whose will it is to restore all things in your well-beloved Son, the King of kings and Lord of lords, mercifully grant that the peoples of the earth, divided and enslaved by sin, may be freed and brought together under his most gracious rule, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen.